If you're still eating, you can continue as we get started, but come on back to your seats so we can move right on. And if you haven't picked up copies of the pitches and want them, I can see some still on the back table right there at the center aisle. And we have Susan Moran and Tasha Eikenzayer who are going to talk for us. So.
Can you hear me? Yeah. Maybe we'll just start with brief introductions. My name's Tasha. I've been writing, editing, and producing environment stories for about 10 years. I guess my environmental journalism career officially started with Jim Matavalli as an intern at E! And then I moved on to become a Capitol Hill reporter with Greenwire. And then went to National Geographic where I wrote, edited, and produced environment-related content for digital products and online. And now I'm an editor at Discover where I edit columns and features and still do some production work related to our new e-single long form series.
Is this working?
Yep, it is.
And I'm Susan Moran, really nice to be here. So I'm a leftover from last year. So I hope that, actually raise your hand if you came last year. From the survey, it looked like about 30%. All right, well, I hope we're offering you something you don't already know. So just briefly, I have about 25 years, I guess, experience in journalism, starting with the Center for Investigative Reporting way back then, and then more business reporting with Reuters and San Francisco Chronicle and Business 2.0, sexy title as it is. And then in 2001 came to Colorado on the Scripps Fellowship, like half the room. And thus began a career in freelancing and teaching at the university, and mostly have been freelancing and teaching since 2002. So that's the basics. And sort of business, more environment and science of late.
So we definitely want this part of the session to be as helpful as possible. So just yell if questions come up. And like it's been already said, we'll break into these smaller groups in a bit. And the bulk of the session will be looking at examples of pitches. But we wanted to start with a little bit of a disclaimer, and it's something you've already heard, but that's that every editor and publication has a preferred method for collecting and developing story ideas and making assignments. So, as we all know, pitches can take multiple forms. They can be long research, multi-page documents, or really quick phone conversations with an editor that you might already know. So Susan and I can share our experiences and the stories that we've heard from other writers and editors and provide you with a few nearly universal best practices for writing pitches. But ultimately, then, you'll need to, you know, put your work out there and see what works best for you and the people that you want to work with. And I, as an editor and possibly a minority in this room, I just want to say that Discover Magazine, where I work now, relies very heavily on freelance contributions. And without you and your work, we'd essentially be screwed. So we really appreciate the time and effort that goes into crafting a good pitch. And then we just wanted to add another sort of disclaimer and say that because pitching... Oops, I jumped ahead. Because pitching is ultimately the catalyst... Well, we're never going to get to that slide. But because it also, it's often just the catalyst for a conversation about how a writer and editor can work together to shape a story, it's good for you to keep in mind that only you can ultimately determine if you are okay with the direction that your story is headed in. So if you feel be hijacked instead of worked on collaboratively, you can always feel that you can move on to the next outlet. And there are probably more outlets and editors out there than you'll ever have time to read or reach out to. So... message of optimism.
So on that note, in a way, we feel so 1.0 relative to Dan Grossman and Jim Motivalli's, who are saying, what did you say, Jim? You haven't pitched in the last 3 years and hope that will be your last pitch. Nonetheless, this is kind of 1.0. This is the bulk of what I do, or at least more than 50% of my assignments are from my own pitching. Sometimes not, but just a quick poll. So raise your hand if you like the pitching process. I know there's a whole continuum. Okay, raise your hand if you really, really, really don't like it. All right, then. There are a lot of I don't knows. Maybe. And raise your... Yeah. Okay, so raise your hand if at least 50% of your article assignments, I know there's a bunch of other work too, but article assignments come from your own pitching. And I don't mean just a casual conversation, but pretty formal pitches, at least 50%. Say a quarter of the room, maybe? Hands high. And, okay, raise your hand if you don't pitch at all. And you do plenty of assignments. Right. All right, then, so we kind of cover the spectrum. Oh, all right, I'll do it. Should I just advance it from here? Uh-oh. Let me go back. Shoot. Okay, so as I mentioned before, Emma, Sarah, and I don't know if Emily Gertz is here now, and I are members of this really great science writers community, which wrote the book, The Science Writer's Handbook. So I just took this mini poll recently and asked folks basically the same thing. Do you like pitching? And one emphatically... And he does a lot from his own pitches, but a lot of other assignments. No, I don't like being obsequious and solicitous. That's his main thing. And then the only thing I like is the very beginning of the process. You know, is how many can relate? Raise your hand if you sort of like that. You've got the hunch, you've got the idea, you're wondering, I'm going to follow my nose. Yeah, a lot of us. And then the rest is downhill from there. A couple more. As someone who's super successful, actually, in magazine narrative, I pitch so that I have more control over what stories I do and where I do them, so I can move into new pubs, larger audiences. Don't even mind the rejection. In fact, she says rejection is just part of going forward. You got to have thick skin, right? I still find it hard, but such as it is. And then I do mind the waiting. This is the same person, actually, waiting for months for two editors who work in the same office to discuss a proposal. That's just frustrating and depressing. So on that note, it's kind of the gamut. Okay?
So just a quick outline of what we hope to cover in the next hour and a half. One of the most common mistakes that editors say writers make in their pitches is that they're proposing ideas or topics and not actual stories. So Susan's going to remind us all of what the difference is between an idea and a story, or a topic and a story. And then we'll look at those queries that we've handed out and talk in small groups about what works, what doesn't, what you might do differently, what you learned, any questions you have about them. And then Susan and I have worked together as writer and editor on a story, so we'll just take you through that process. And then we'll talk about what next, what to do if something doesn't work out or if you still need to find an outlet to sell your story to.
Everyone knows from your own work probably what's the difference between, at least in general terms, what's a bunch of data and information and what really has more of a story to it. And I guess one caveat I want to say is, obviously, not all stories should be or need to be narrative form with characters, with an arc. They're the explainers. There's sort of the under the hood. A lot of investigative stories don't quite have that same. But for the long form or longer form narrative, basically avoid the information dump. And some of the elements of a story we just go through is, so let's say you've got a question and then you're developing some sort of narrative. So where's the tension? Where are the characters? What's the context, whether it's geographic or broader thematic context? Breaking out into the big picture beyond your little particular focus that you might have. And then, what's the broader relevance? And, of course, why now? The timeliness of it. And again, that's not going to be for, this may sound really basic for many, but not for every publication. So we'll get to that too, sort of knowing the publication. And then, it's a little tiny, I'll have to look at it. So this we just plucked from a friend, Tom Hayden, who was one of the teachers or one of the facilitators last year. He's got this great chapter in here that's basically the art of the pitch. And in it, he has this sort of template dialogue between Rob Irian, the director of the UC Santa Cruz Science Writing Program, and a model student. And I'll just sort of walk you through it. And it's basically the model student says, I have this great idea about elephant seals. And he goes, well, that's a topic. What about them? And he says, well, they're these charismatic megafauna, and they've got big brown eyes. And he goes, well, okay, that might help attract readers, but what's going to make them read the story? And then he says, well, researchers are studying how deep they dive and where they go to eat. And Rob says, well, okay, but those studies have been going on for a long time, so why now? What's different about it? What's different about these GPS tags even? So then he goes, and he says, all right, they're using these GPS tags, and Rob says, well, okay, that's cool, but give me more. What's a finding there, particularly with a science story? And so then the finding is, using these GPS tags, they find that not only elephant seals, but albatross and sharks and others. So it's actually showing them so much about the ecosystem and the interactions of the animals. And the editor goes, aha, I think you've got a story there. So that's kind of walking through basically the process of a topic, which I often start with myself. Sometimes maybe it's a really compelling character I want to wrap a story around, but often it is a topic, but you just got to weave a really tight why. You know, how do you go from the topic to the story? So. Oh, and then, sorry, I'll say one other thing there. Oops. Oh, I did it. Whoops. Okay. Oh, wait, are you going back as I'm going forward? This is the editor-writer relationship. Okay. Oh, no, hang on. Okay, I want to go back to that outlet. Okay, you go. Okay, we'll stay there. So then, as I was mentioning before, sort of looking at not just a great idea that turns into a story, but for what kind of publication. And depends on, as Michael and Sarah were talking about, sort of what's your goal, what's your strategy. And just like if anyone has high school or now college students, you know, this whole process of going for the safety schools, you know, a publication, or let's say you want to do a blog, you're not expecting to get paid much at all, but you really want to get it out, and that would be your safety, or something like that. A match, something that you're familiar with, maybe a publication you've already written for, as opposed to a reach, your target, whether it's the New Yorker, Scientific American, Discover, it all depends on sort of where you are now and where you want to go. Seems pretty obvious. Okay. Now, I'll go.
Okay, so still maybe along the line of basics. Once you have your idea. Yeah, sorry, I tend to mumble too. All right, so once you have your idea, Susan's outlined, you're going to draft your query letter. And there are probably, I mean, a million different ways to do this, right? But there are some basics that you probably want to keep in mind as you do it. And you want to include the story idea, and what you're proposing specifically. And if you're proposing a narrative, I think editors would appreciate a sense of what those narrative elements are. Who the characters are, if they're compelling, where the momentum of the story is headed, even if you don't know the final resolution of it yet. You want to make sure that you're presenting the relevance of the story. This is another common criticism of pitches, in that they don't give enough context, both for why they're important to why it's important to tell these stories now, but also why it's important to tell these stories in the publication that you're pitching. Timeliness, why now? This can mean a bunch of things, too. It could be pegged to the release of a paper or an event. It could also be that something's trending or starting to trend, and now is a good time to talk about it. execution, your pitch should definitely reflect the style of the story that you aim to tell. So if that's a narrative, write the pitch in a narrative format. If that's, you know, you're aiming to do an explanatory piece, write it that way. And you also just want to concisely and clearly state, like, I am proposing a profile or a Q&A or, you know, a narrative about this particular topic. And then expenses, et cetera, that can be part of the pitch, and sometimes it helps for an editor to know that information up front. Like, if you're proposing to go abroad to South America and it might cost the publication thousands of dollars, they'll want to know that. Extras, I think this is becoming increasingly important. If you're proposing a print or online story, to talk about what you might be able to offer in terms of video and photo, or what sorts of multimedia elements you could make with the content, including infographics and interactives. And it might be the case that your story is just a multimedia presentation. There's no print element or online element. And then you want to make sure after the editor has finished reading your pitch that they're confident that you are the right person for the story. And that could be because you have special access to a site or a story. It could be because of your experience. One of my pet peeves in reading pitches is the writer saying, I am the right person to write this story, because I want to just be confident after reading your pitch that you are. So what we thought we would do next is break into groups of maybe 7 or 8 people. So if you could just find people around you, and you have the pitches in front of you. Hopefully you've all read them. These were pitches donated to us from writers that I've worked with. One of them is Jennifer Weeks, who's here. And her pitch was for a story for National Geographic Kids about iguanas. There's a pitch in there from Ann Castleman that was to Discover about survival suits. And then Doug Fox has a pitch in there, which I pulled off of the pitch database on the Open Notebook. And it's a story for SIAM, although I've worked with Doug for Discover on other things. So in your groups, read these pitches. See if you can identify all of these elements. Maybe there's something missing. Maybe there's something you would have included that they didn't. Maybe you have questions about why they crafted the pitch the way they did, and Jennifer's here to actually answer those. Or questions about why a certain assignment happened or it didn't. Anything else?
Just maybe logistically. So raise your hand if you're one of the facilitators and you're going to facilitate one of the pod groups. So we've got Sarah, Emma, Jane, right, Chris. Are you wearing her last name? Jim, Michael. So you guys, Roman, I think we'll have, and then us, so 8. So yeah, find pods. Don't be selective. Basically just geographical expediency right here. And we'll try to be as swift as possible. So just break yourself into pods. Hang on one sec. And the editors, spread yourselves around. Thank you. And editors, spread yourselves around, and people find them. And if you only get to 1 or 2, that's fine. But agree before you start that you're going to start on 1. And basically, as she said, you're looking for the elements, looking for what works, what doesn't. And we're going to reconvene in 25 minutes. We'll keep a clock. So we don't have that much time, so try to keep it really specific. 20
minutes.
Okay.
And if you could identify someone in your group that will end up reporting back to us with what you found or thought about these pitches, that would be great.
And if there are editors among you, split yourselves up, because I think it'd be really useful to have editors in the group too. So facilitators, stand in different zones.